time to run.
Welcome to the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. You have happened across the only podcast completely dedicated to learning and mastering the Jeff Galloway Run Walk Run training method right from Jeff himself. Jeff's Run Walk Run training method has been developed and evolved over many years using feedback from nearly 500,000 of your fellow runners. This podcast will run walk run you gently through Jeff's training methods to get you to the finish line of your next event or simply help you run to your 100. So lace up those running shoes and let's get moving.
Well, hello, and welcome to episode 4.4 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. How's everybody doing? It's a scheduled day off for me, at least from running. So that must mean that I'm out on a lunchtime walk. And happy August, everyone. Although it would be difficult to prove it by the weather we're having here in Ohio in the last few days. It actually got down to 53 degrees Fahrenheit a couple nights ago. So my electric bill is kind of loving this weather, if nothing else. Actually, my running is enjoying this weather also. And I'm pretty sure I have seen a lot of folks throughout the country and other parts of the world really having some cool breaks, at least in the northern hemisphere. So no complaints there. My training is going pretty well. I basically just began. I kind of got slapped in the face this week when I was speaking to somebody from Jeff's production team, and she said to me, easy question. She said, "Have you started training for the Jeff Galloway 13.1 yet?" And I didn't like the answer I gave in my head. So I started looking back, and I've gotten a little bit more strict about my training for the Jeff Galloway 13.1, and it's too early to tell how it's going, but at least it's going. How is yours? We'd like to hear how your training's going. We obviously collect questions for Jeff every episode. If you'd like to tell us how your specific training is going, we have an entirely different podcast known as the Extra Mile Podcast that you can figure out how to get to from our show notes. But it's basically the extramilepodcast.com. where we do nothing but collect and discuss how your training is going for any sort of a race, really. So let us know how that's going as well. So in this episode, episode 4.4, we will, of course, catch up with Jeff again. And speaking of catching up with Jeff, my email has been going crazy, as the Facebook page has been, with folks who are doing just that. I love seeing pictures of you guys showing up wherever Jeff is and getting your pictures taken with Jeff. If you do that, just, it kind of goes without saying, but please be kind enough to share that. Share those pictures over at Facebook. They're pretty cool. So anyway, we'll catch up with Jeff, find out where he's been and where he's going to be headed for the next few weeks, in case he's in your area. Jeff tells me almost every single time that we chat about how various extra milers come up to him at race expos and some of his retreats, and mentioned the podcast, and obviously I love that too. We'll also get Jeff's take on some pretty important run, walk, run items. And like I said, we'll take some more questions from all of you extra milers. And of course, we'll catch up on Jeff's premier race, the Jeff Galloway 13.1, and see if there's any announcements or changes that we need to talk about with regard to that race. And lastly, we're going to check in with our lovable customized training guinea pig and see how he's getting along and how things are going in his life. Lots of great web references that are mentioned in this episode, and none of which you can probably check out while you're out running listening to this episode. So make sure to get over and check out the show notes, and I'll try very hard to add little links to everything we spoke about today. If I leave something out, feel free to send me an email, but head over to thegalawayextramile.com and hopefully we'll have all the links to the books that Jeff spoke about and all the retreat information and all the detail of everything else we talk about in this episode. So that's all I got. Let's head over to the good stuff and you and I will chat at the end. You'll enjoy your extra mile.
Early walk breaks erase fatigue, so let's start this episode with a gentle walk break.
Okay, as the man said, we're going to start all of these podcasts as we do our run, walk, run with a gentle walk break. And to get us started, we've got our favorite run, walk, run coach, Coach Jeff Galloway. Hello, Jeff. How are you this morning?
Well, Kevin, I am great. We just finished up our Tahoe retreat, and you can't help but just feel good every day out there, friendly, supportive people. It's just, I'm glowing.
So do you get the little depression feeling I always get when I come home from a vacation that it's over?
There's
I don't
want
to call that a vacation, but
that.
It's certainly heavenly.
You know, it's a lull, and you know, everything is revved up to so many in so many positive ways out there. The weather, the beauty, the trails that are spectacular, but the people. I mean, it's just every year, it's just a wonderful group of people, and that makes a extremely positive and motivating experience.
I've spoken to some quite a few actually who have done Tahoe, and that sounds like you have people that go back like, I'm 25, 30 years or something like that, don't you, to come back every year?
We do. We have a very high return rate. It's just over 50% each year. So we have the folks that have been there and they know what it's about, and they bring in the newbies and explain, you know, where everything is, and their friendships forged on the very first night that we're together.
Nice. That's on my bucket list. So let's talk. I know you just got back from there. So before in our last podcast, you were just about ready to head to, well, locally there for the Peachtree. How did that one go this year?
Peachtree is just an amazing event because it mobilizes the whole city of Atlanta. Think of a southern city on July 4th. You know what the weather's like. Over 60,000 people get up at all hours of the night to come out and run down our major street, Peachtree. And it is just a fabulous event.
Tell me a little bit about that. I mean, obviously, I'm speaking with the guy who won the very, very first Peachtree, and I don't remember. Was it what year was this? Do you remember?
1970.
I mean, this would have been the 20-something year of it. What was it?
I'm not. This is the 48th year, and so next year will be 49th, and then the 50th running is coming up in 2019.
This has only a teeny bit to do with that race, but I noticed that your son, Brennan, finished in an amazing time. Are you aware of how fast that guy finished this race?
Oh, thank you. Brennan is definitely he's one of two competitive folks in our family. Yeah. The other one is his brother, Weston, who just finished Ironman up in Whistler, and we're so proud of him because he used to be an 800-meter runner and told us that he would never run anything like a half marathon. And he's just caught the bug. Yeah. Worst bugs can be caught.
Yes.
But Brennan had another huge event that occurred the day after Peachtree, and that is he and Jenny had their first child and our first grandchild, and we are excited and very joyous.
Oh, congratulations, Grandpa. Oh, cool.
Tegan Galloway, our new runner.
A new runner. But Brennan ran that race in 35:15, from what I saw. So five minutes and something in the low fives, I think, per mile. That's flying.
It sure is. And as you know, and think about, he has been going through a whole lot of stuff, getting ready for the baby and hadn't been able to really train as much. Yes, we're so proud of Brennan.
He was smoking. Do you remember you probably do. What was your first time, that first Peachtree?
That first one, I think it was 32:35, I believe, that first year.
Well, you still got bragging rights there over Brennan for a while, don't you think? We'll see.
For a little while, maybe.
Yeah. All right, so you had a good Peachtree. I noticed you headed for Missoula shortly after that, and I know that's one of your favorite races.
It is, and it's in such a beautiful area. It was warm at Peachtree this year. I do not have a whole great deal of sweat. I'll have maybe spots on my shirt at Peachtree, and this year I was soaked. And I think that was due not only to the temperature being a little higher, but also the humidity a little higher than it usually is. In Missoula, it was also a very warm year, so a lot of folks did suffer as a result of that. Anytime you hold a marathon in July, regardless of where it is, you run the risk of it being warm. It hasn't been super warm, but maybe 2 years out of their whole history. And this is the third year, I guess.
Refresh my memory, Jeff. A couple of years ago, I want to say 2014, I think it was during this race. Didn't you stop and get your picture taken with, was it some bears in the background or?
Yes, it actually wasn't real bears. There was a, buffalo. That's what it was. It was buffalo along the course. Yes.
Yes. There you go. Pretty scenery.
It's Montana.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a little bit about where you've been since we've spoken. Of course, after Missoula, you did the Tahoe retreat that we touched on just a little bit. Anything special in Tahoe? How was the weather in Tahoe?
It was a little warmer than usual, but it was fabulous. I mean, we had some days in which the high temperature got up into the high 80s. One day it was in the low 90s. But with 10% humidity, those of us from the south did not feel any adversity. And furthermore, we run in the mornings when it's 50 to 60 degrees. So it just was fabulous running.
Well, very good. So between now and the next time we speak, I know you've got a very, very busy August. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity for listeners to catch up with you. You've got a huge swing through the state of Florida next week. You're a busy guy through Florida. What's going on there?
Well, I usually like to get down to Florida and visit as many of our programs down there as I can. And I've got on the docket starting on Sunday a one-week tour doing 17 different clinics. So it's going to be very busy. It encompasses the territory up and down Interstate 4 and then I-95 from St. Augustine all the way down to Fort Lauderdale. So I'll be putting a lot of miles on the car.
Yeah, I will post a link to Jeff's calendar so you can see some more specifics where he's going to be and when, and that's a great opportunity to get over and ask your questions and talk to Jeff and get your pictures taken directly. And after that, you're heading – I'm sorry, you were going to say something?
Well, I was just about to say that I welcome people coming and particularly bringing your friends. And you can see on our website where I'm going to be. But, you know, lots of times you want to get a friend involved. And if you bring them to one of my clinics, I will try my best to get them motivated.
Very good. We're all disciples, so that's a great way to bring somebody into the fold. Then you're heading to Anchorage shortly after your week long in Florida. I know you love it up there in Anchorage as well.
We do. There are several reasons for that. The people are just really good, friendly, open, and interesting people. So, you know, it's a good place from that standpoint. Well-run race, and the temperatures are usually as ideal as you can get in August. We've been out there 7 years, and this is our eighth. The starting temperature is averaged 53 degrees, but here's the deal. The finish temperature is averaged 59 degrees.
Very nice. And they call that the Anchorage Run Fest for a good reason, because that thing has – there's an ultra, there's a marathon, a half, a 5K, a mile run, and even a kids' fun run like a 2K for the kids. So there's something for everybody at that one.
Yes, you can find something for everybody.
And then at the end of August, somewhere around the 31st through the 3rd, you're heading to Disneyland out there in California.
Yes, the Disneyland Half was the first race in the Run Disney series that was put on at Disneyland, and it's become super popular, fills up quickly, and I love it. I really do. I mean, the Disney World events have a slightly different personality to them, and each one of the Run Disney events has themes and characters that are associated with it, and it's just fun to have your picture taken with one of the characters, and you meet other people who are fans about various things, and you talk to families there. I talked to over 2,000 people at any one of these Disney weekends through the being at the expo all the time, and they tell me the stories. There are dozens of people that have lost over 100 pounds in each one of these races. Of course, they didn't lose it in the race itself. It was preparation and changing diet. But people who normally don't have a chance to make major changes have made their changes through having the goal of one of those races. And I'm just proud to be the supplier of the training program that they use.
There's a half and a 10K, and then you can also do both of them that I think they call the Disneyland Double Dare. What's on your docket for that race, Jeff?
I will be doing the half. Barb and I will be running the half that weekend, and we have such long hours at the expo that we only do the different challenges. The only one that we're doing right now is in January, and I can't pass up being dopey, so that's my day after day challenge.
And I will mention two other very briefly. Let's mention a couple of things you got in September. We may speak, hopefully we will speak before these, but you've got a couple of retreats coming up in September. I think you've got is it Carmel coming up in September?
Carmel comes in November, December, January, March and April. So we've got some great retreats there. And the beauty of the retreats, it's a chance where I can do individualized form evaluations. I'll sit down and write out a training program. The attendance is limited. In Carmel, no more than 20 people. So register and I'll spend the time necessary. You'll really have an upbeat experience because we have not failed yet to have just a good, upbeat group of people. And friendships are forged that continue after those. But there aren't many life experiences where you can get information on the healthy aspects of nutrition and so forth. And at Carmel, we will have Carissa, who is a registered dietitian and also one of the Run Disney key announcers. But Carissa will be there to set up nutrition plans for people, to answer questions about that, to explain how to combine foods and so forth and so on. So we're going to have a really good time there. But the one that's coming up is next month, September the 8th through the 10th, down at Blue Mountain Beach, Florida, on the Florida Panhandle, with miles and miles of pine straw trails, a beautiful white sand beach, and just great company.
Yeah, for those of you unfamiliar with the Blue Mountain Beach area, it's down near the Destin area, and that's just a beautiful, beautiful part of the country.
It is.
Very good. I think that we've caught up on where you've been. Great opportunities for everybody to get together with you and meet you where you're going to be in the next month, 6 weeks or so. So with that said, let's head over to the run interval part of the show.
After that gentle walk break and knowing just the right ratio and pace, it's time to run.
And the run interval part of the show is the part of the show where we talk about the training focus and all run, walk, run elements. And today, Jeff, I'd like for you to expand upon, maybe give us a definition of aerobic versus anaerobic. And besides just maybe defining what they are, I'd like to explain how maybe run, walk, run training can impact both of those kinds of trainings. Should we be doing both or either? And just help us understand this whole aerobic versus anaerobic, if you could, please.
Well, most fitness runners want to stay aerobic in their training and in their race. But if you have a time goal, if you want to improve, then there will be some anaerobic work that's needed. So here's what the definition and the physiology is all about. When you warm up at a very, very easy pace and put enough walk breaks in there, the exercising muscles are trying to rev themselves up. And if you've been good at gently warming up, the muscles can grab enough oxygen molecules from the bloodstream in order to burn the fuel very efficiently. And your sign that you're warming up gently is that there's no huffing and puffing. Now, what that means is that you're not burning a lot of glycogen in the muscles. So you will be burning some, and you will burn it when you're running for the first half hour of your run. Primarily glycogen. Now, the significance there is that glycogen, if you push too hard, will release a weight, will be processed, and a waste product will be released called lactic acid. And that builds up in the muscles. It tightens the muscles up. It makes it hard for you to run, certainly to run fast, because you're getting tighter and tighter, and the muscles feel more and more fatigued. And so the way that you avoid that is to make sure that you have the right pace, and when in doubt, start out more slowly. And then to also insert walk breaks right from the very beginning. The walk breaks act as shock absorbers to your system, and they also act as a monitoring device to keep you in the aerobic zone. Now, one of the benefits of if you're going more than 30 minutes is that when you are aerobic, and in other words, there's no huffing and puffing, you're going to be burning fat after 30 minutes. And you're also training the muscles to be better fat burners. So if you have a longer run that you progressively push up a little bit, a half a mile to a mile every 2 weeks, then your muscle cells are going to get better at burning fat and more efficient at burning fat, and therefore you're going to not just burn more fat when you run, but you'll burn more fat all day long.
You mentioned that in the case of anaerobic, you mentioned that that involves, I mean, you're going to do some of that if you've got a time goal. What elements of run, walk, run? I mean, if you've got somebody who wants a time goal, what elements of run, walk, run do you prescribe that involves anaerobic training?
Yeah, you don't have to do any speed work, which is anaerobic, unless you have a time goal. This is also available for those that are afraid of getting swept in races too. So some gentle speed training can help those who may have been swept before or are feeling that they may be swept in an upcoming race. But what anaerobic work is to run a little bit faster on a short segment and then walk to recover, repeat it, both the faster repetition distance and the walking. For example, let's say that you want to run faster in a local 5K. Well, the standard workout is going to a track where there is a 400-meter distance around. It's about a quarter of a mile, and you can, you know, for your computations, assume that it is a quarter of a mile. It's close enough. And so what you do is take the time that you want to run in your next race, in this case a 5K, divide that by four, and then subtract 8 seconds for the time that you want to run per lap during your speed workout. So here's an example. Let's say that you have currently run a 12-minute mile, but would like to run an 11:30 or somewhere in there per mile in a 5K. Well, the 12-minute mile would be 3 minutes per lap. That's what the race would be. But when you're dropping down to the 11:30 pace, you need to run about 8 seconds faster than that. So that would be a 2:52, but that's the race pace. In order to prepare for that race pace, you need to run another 8 seconds faster per quarter mile. And so in this case, we're talking about a 2:44 per lap, and then walking for 2 to 3 minutes in between each quarter mile or each lap around the track. You'd start with three or four of those, and then build up, add an additional two, and build up to the point that you can do 14 of those for best results in a 5K. And, you know, you're not, you shouldn't be sprinting because the pace of the quarter miles is only a few seconds faster than you're currently running in a 5K. But as the number of those repetitions grow, you're producing a lot of physiological changes inside to go farther before you get into lactic acid and oxygen debt. You're also training your whole system including your mind, to keep going when you're really tired and think that you cannot. So at the same time that you're building up the number of these repetitions and pushing through that barrier of the physical barrier, you're also helping yourself mentally too.
Very good. So you've mentioned a few physiological changes and definitions here. Have you written any books that discuss this in detail or further?
Yeah, my original book, Galloway's Book on Running, does the best job right now. It is on the market. I mean, we have it at our website. I must say, however, that I'm very pleased that I have revised that book. It's at my publisher's now, being put together, and it's going to come out in a much more expanded version next year. But that book does have great detailed information on the physiology of running. And anyway, it'll be out next year and expansion.
Easy for you to say. Thank you.
Yes, really.
Good. Thanks very much, Jeff.
It's time to see how you are progressing in your training. So it's time for a magic mile.
Let's move on to the magic mile portion of this program. And the magic mile is one of my favorite spots. It's where we get to take a few questions from listeners, and I've had several of those come in, and also get some updates on our favorite December half marathon. So if it's all right with you, I'd like to start with an audio question we got from Suzanne, a longtime listener. She's down in Lexington, Kentucky. So if you don't mind, Jeff, let's listen to what Suzanne has to say and see if we can't help her.
Good.
Hello, Jeff. This is Suzanne from Lexington, Kentucky. When you're trying to slow your run down, be it for hot weather or for your long run, do you typically increase your walk break time? In other words, if you're normally doing a 15:30, go to 15:45. Do you shorten your run sequence time? Again, instead of 15:30, go to 10:30. Or do you just let nature take its course and try to do those run times, walk times, a little more slowly? Thank you.
Good question, Suzanne. The answer is that you need to stay as safe as you can when it's hot. But even if it's cool and you're needing to slow down, and your current run-walk-run strategy is resulting in a faster pace than it should be, altering your run-walk-run is the way to do it. And that is built into what you'll see in Galloway training programs and other books. But the concept is, with heat, to slow down 30 seconds a mile for every 5 degrees above 60. So let's say that someone is running a 12-minute-per-mile pace, and that's a legitimate pace due to magic mile computations on long runs when the temperature is 60. Now, when it's 70, you need to slow down a minute per mile. So the change would be going from what might be a 60-30 or 40-20 when running a 12-minute pace, but at the hotter 70-degree pace, of 13 minutes per mile, it would be 30-30, 20-20, or 15-15. But a lot of folks are finding that even when they make those changes, that they're still running too fast. So you can further adjust the run-walk-run to accommodate that, and you're going to get all the endurance from that long run, regardless of how frequently you walk, how much you walk. You can even walk the whole darn long run, and you'll get all the distance of it. So don't feel bashful about dropping down to 20-20 or 15-15, or even run 15 seconds and walk 30. I have a number of folks that are running 11 and 12-minute per mile pace by running 15 seconds and walking 30 seconds. You just need to find by taking a more conservative approach, you're going to recover faster.
Very good. Thanks for the question, Suzanne. Our next question comes from Carrie. Carrie says, Jeff, I absolutely love the run, walk, run method, and she trains with your group in Jacksonville. She's wondering what sort of recommendations you have for safely, that's the important part, for safely training for a multi-run event, such as, and it sounds like she's getting ready for Donna's Booby Trap Challenge, which is a 5K, 10K in one day, the half, or the full on the second day.
Well, Carrie, there is a method to this madness, and that is to prepare your legs to be on them for the distances that you're going to have to do that weekend. And the way that I do that with our Run Disney events, and it's been very successful, is to build up each one of the distances over 2 or 3 months in advance. So you take your long run weekend, and that would be normally on a Sunday. Then on Saturday and even Friday, you could place the other events. At first, you would only walk for a mile or so on each one of the pre-events. But as the weeks go by, on each long run weekend, you could build up. So, example, let's say that there's a 5K, a 10K, and a half marathon that would be Friday a 5K, Saturday a 10K, and the half marathon on Sunday. A lot of folks who have gotten off the couch a year ago are able to do that through this training. So they would start about 2 or 3 months out on the long run weekends by walking a mile on Friday, walking a mile and a half on Saturday, and then doing whatever the long run was for that particular weekend. And let's just say that it was 6 miles. And then on the 2 weeks later, that person would walk 2 miles on Friday, then walk with maybe a little bit of jogging, 3 to 3.5 miles on Saturday, and then do the long run, which we're just going to say is 8 miles on that Sunday. And so as the season progresses, every other week, the days of walking will prepare you to be on your feet for that distance. And then the last, the Sunday run, the last one, is what prepares you for that longer event on that particular weekend.
Very good. Thank you for that question. Carrie, and it sounds like you're training for the right race down there in Florida. Good for you.
Those Donna races are just absolutely fabulous.
Got one from Connie in Pennsylvania. She says, hi, Jeff. She's battling back from a ruptured disc, and her running future is a bit iffy right now. However, she knows that walking is something that she can do no matter what. And she has ordered your book, your walking book, a few days ago, and she's very eager to get that. The description says that it includes training plans for walking both a full and a half. Her biggest goal has always been to run a marathon, preferably Walt Disney World Marathon. Do you think it's possible to walk a Disney marathon and maintain a 16-minute per mile pace to stay ahead of the balloon ladies?
Well, Connie, it is. I talked to several dozen people at those Walt Disney World marathons that, in fact, do stay ahead of the balloon lady by walking. Now, sometimes, however, if the stride is too long, that long walk can actually cause a little aggravation to the back. And what I would suggest is that you walk all of your walks with a gentle walk for about 5 minutes, and then ease into a regular walk that you would do, but avoid a long stride. And then progressively, one day a week, get into a faster walk pace. Now, the best way to do that is to have a shorter stride, but a quicker cadence. And You just need to practice that. Most everybody I know that's done that has been successful. Another thing you want to avoid with the back issue is don't do a forward lean. The forward lean can definitely aggravate the back and or the neck. Now, there are a number of back strengthening exercises that have been very beneficial. And because back problems tend to be individual, I would recommend finding a physical therapist that could help you with some really good back strengthening exercises. They really do make a difference, and I have heard from several thousand people now who had disc issues or other sensitive back problems and have been able to get right back into running. The running portion, I don't know. I can't tell you that, but I can tell you that if you tried a little shuffling for 5 seconds every minute, that helps to pick up your pace, and it also might be a way to segue into continuing to run some. Now, the shuffle is a real short stride with your feet right next to the ground, and you're mainly using the ankle. There's no jarring because you're just not really leaving the ground. You're just shuffling right along the ground. Give it a try. And I would, if you increase the shuffle, I would not go more than 10 seconds at a time at a shuffle for the first 2 months. And by keeping those shuffles short, most people with back problems that I've worked with have been able to get back into that running slash shuffle motion. And finally, the walking book is a great guide for any event that you do. It has 5K, 10K, half, and full marathon schedules for walkers, along with nutrition information and just all the stuff that we have for runners. It's a very good guidebook.
Well, I know Connie well enough to know that your first sentence in that answer, when you said, yes, you can do it, she got a big smile on her face, and it's been there ever from the entire time listening to your answer. That's good news for Connie. Thanks, Jeff.
I'm glad to help.
I have one more question before I jump into that. And before we get off this topic with Connie, I'm listening to your answer. I'm interested. Do you find a lot more interest and questions coming from folks concerning walking versus the running thing?
You know, that has increased. And where I get most of those is at the Disney races. I am very surprised that there are, oh gosh, in a given year, several hundred people that come up to me who are coming to a Disney race from maybe 500 to 2,000 miles away just to do a 5K. And it's a big deal in their life. They've never done anything like that, and they want to do it at Disney. We've had several who will do their first half marathon at our Jeff Galloway 13.1 because we have a 4.5 hour limit. And so that's the main thing that walkers have to look at. What is the limit and how, friendly the group is that's putting on the event for walkers. Yes, there's a growing interest in walking distances, and a lot of those folks who started walking have gotten into running.
Very good. So I've got one more question. It comes from my buddy Joe, and it's a very short question, but it's appropriate for several of the topics we spoke about today. He's just wondering whether you are currently working on any new books, and if you could share any details of anything coming up on that front.
Yes, I am. We're about to have published a new book, A Woman's Prescription for Health and Exercise. It's going to focus on primarily nutrition and exercise. And I wrote that book with two of my very good friends, long-term friend Ruth Parker, Dr. Ruth Parker, and Dr. Carmen Mohan. Both are super knowledgeable about all the medical areas and health areas. And we want to expand this first through the book and then through offering hospitals and medical care facilities and programs, the resources that really have good content to it that can help people improve.
Very good.
And I've got another book too that won't be out next year even. We're looking right now to 2019 for the publishing of it. And what it is my history in running. I've had so many amazing experiences. I'm sort of like a Forrest Gump of running. Happened to be at the right place at the right time and with fantastic people and stories. And so I'm going to be telling those, and with lessons and what I learned and what others have learned. Anyway, I'm into it right now and I'm excited about it. And I think it's really going to be something that can help people.
Would you say that one's going to be like quasi autobiography kind of thing?
It won't be quasi. Autobiographical. But it really deals with how this running thing came about as a phenomenon. The working title of it is "It's More Than the Endorphins," and the subtitle is "How Running Became the Empowerment Vehicle for Our Society."
Very good. I'll look forward to that one, Jeff. All right. So the next thing we want to talk about is our favorite half marathon in December, the weekend of December 15th, 16th, and 17th in Atlanta. Now, the last episode, you teased us and said that you had an announcement coming up concerning a keynote speaker that I could hear the excitement in your voice, but I had no idea who we're talking about. Has anything been announced on that front?
Absolutely, Kevin, and I am excited about this. One of the my key mentors in running is going to be coming. His name is Billy Mills. Billy not only is an Olympic gold medalist, but he is the most inspiring speaker that I have ever been around, and I have heard him speak over 40 times. He's going to be there for the whole weekend, and we have an up-close and personal time at reception at our Fidipides store in Atlanta on Friday evening. He'll be around all day on Saturday, and he's just a warm person with a lot of wisdom and a motivating message that you will come away really inspired. And Billy doesn't go to many races anymore, so it really is a great opportunity to meet him, to feel his spirit, and then to be able to have a real legend that you feel at home with and part of your heritage too.
Very good. That's exciting news. As I recall, the first American to win the Olympic 10,000 meter race, right?
You know, I think there was one earlier, but I may be wrong. Very early in the Olympic game, there may have been one, but he certainly was one of two.
Very good. That's exciting news, Jeff. Congratulations on that.
And well, you know, our race is all about having people come together as a community and be supported. I will be at the finish line until the very last person comes across. And if you want to get a picture, if you want to have me award you the medal, I'll be there to do it. And we will also have a lot of other support things that we'll be noting as we go through. It's a beautiful course. Come and see us. We'd love to have you.
We've got some pretty special things just for listeners, too, that we've got on track, too. So more about that. About that upcoming, too. That's all I have for you today, Jeff. I appreciate your time once again. Looking forward already to the next episode. And just thanks very much for everything.
Well, Kevin, you do a great job, and I hope that you we'll have a good rest of the summer and enjoy your endorphins every single time you get
Thanks,
out there.
Jeff, appreciate it. We'll chat again shortly. All right.
Thank you. After a great endorphin rush, let's end this episode with a well-deserved cool down.
All right, like the man says, it's cool down period, and that's the part of the show where we get to talk to our customized training program guinea pig. And so on the phone, we've got Mr. Chris Darling, our guinea pig. Chris, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Kevin?
I am good. And we've also got Mr. Chris Twiggs, our guinea pig coach. Chris Twiggs, how are you doing?
I am doing great. I'm not sure what the difference between a guinea pig coach and a guinea pig wrangler, but sometimes it feels like they're the same thing.
Well, I'll change that going forward if you like.
No, that's good.
So before we get started, I do want to discuss one tiny little thing, Mr. Twiggs. We spoke 30 days ago, I think exactly. And I know for a fact that you have at least run 100 miles in the last 30 days. Tell us what happened. Tell us how your big deal in Colorado went, can you?
Oh, gosh, I'd be happy to. I had a wonderful time. You know, running 100 miles is never easy, especially when you try to do it within 48 hours and you throw mountains in. And this wasn't my fastest hard rock. It was my 13th hard rock. And while it wasn't my fastest, it also wasn't my slowest. And it is the best I have ever felt at the finish of any 100 miler. I felt great at the end, to the point that I was actually waiting on my pacer. I'd kind of run ahead of my friend that was pacing me the last 10 miles. And I waited for him at the top of the last climb just to kind of, so that we could come in together, you know, the last little bit, and just had a blast, had a wonderful time. Really appreciate all of the people who sent me text messages and tagged me on Facebook and commented, you know, wishing me well beforehand and congratulating me afterwards. Felt great to be loved and lifted up in that way. And now I'm back home in hot and humid Florida. Just got in from a run and I won't stop sweating for another couple of hours. But it is, I'm a Floridian, it's good to be back home.
I spent a week in Florida, a couple weeks ago on the other coast, opposite of you, and I can attest to that heat thing. It's just it's just completely ridiculous. It shouldn't be that hot anywhere on this planet. It's crazy.
But there's beauty. There's beauty. That's why we put up with it, because
there is beauty.
Gorgeous.
You've got that whole ocean thing going on.
Yes.
So
yes.
Can I ask?
Man is willing to put up with a lot of negativity for the sake of beauty, and I will make no further comment on that.
Yeah. Okay. Can I ask how long it took you? It was a 48-hour cutoff.
Yeah. It took me 41 hours and I believe 31 minutes. Which means I finished at just a minute past 11:30 at night on Saturday night, and just over a week ago. And just, again, felt great. I could have gone a bit faster, but as I mentioned, I wanted to wait on my friend who was doing the last 10 miles with me. And he was rock solid for the first part of that, and then I just kind of got lost in the zone and picked up my pace and didn't realize that he wasn't kind of hanging with me until he was out of sight. So, just over 41 and a half hours. And it's taken me as long as 45 in the past. I've gone as fast as 35 in the past. It's kind of right in the middle.
Was there ever a time in that 40 some hours that you thought you might not finish in time?
No. I ran really well for the first 27, and then where I knew I would have trouble, there's a 14,000 foot peak that we have to go over, Handy's Peak. And it, in this direction, it always hurts me. Hard Rock changes direction. It's counterclockwise some years and clockwise other years. This was a counterclockwise year. And so that climb comes at about 30 miles or so. And between 30 and 40, I knew that I was going to struggle. And I did. I got passed by a lot of people. A lot of them knew me from years past. And one guy, Jeff List, even said, "Hey, you know, I'll see you tomorrow. You're going to pass me." And he was right. I passed him at about 80 miles. but I got passed by a bunch of people between 30 and 40. I knew I was struggling, but I also knew as soon as I got to the top of that, things would get better. So no, I never doubted that I would finish under the time limit. Weather was pretty good for us this year. There have been lightning strikes in the past that have gotten really close to some runners. This year, the lightning stayed away. We did have a hail storm, which was really painful, and there were a lot of runners coming into the aid station with welts from the hail. I didn't have that, but I did get really annoyed by this probably 45-minute long hailstorm up at about 12,000 feet. You know, no trees to hide under, no caves to go in. All you could do is just keep moving and accept it. And as I told the race director, at some point during that run, it kind of felt like God was just poking me constantly around the, you know, head, neck, and shoulders, saying, "You idiot, you idiot, you idiot," for attempting to do something so silly as run 100 miles in the mountains. But it was an amazing experience, and I hope I get to do it again next year.
It strikes me that this is the kind of conversation that Chris Darling and I would have after a half marathon, except, you know, like what he would say, "Well, I know you passed me at six, but, or I passed you at six, but I figured I'd see, and you passed me again at 10, except you're saying things like, "Well, you'll pass me tomorrow," and things like that. I felt great through 27, and, you know, that's just crazy. And I think we should stop talking about this, because I fear that if your wife ever tries to have you put into an insane asylum, she could use this against you. And
it could be admissible. Yeah, you might be right. Oh, but absolutely. It is crazy to think that, and this is something, I mean, I don't know how many people listening to this will ever decide to run 100 miles, but I will say that when you're doing something that's going to take longer, whether it's, you know, whatever it is, the sun comes up the next morning and it's a new day and there's new energy and there's new strength that comes from that sunrise, and you can use that to decide to push on and go, you know, go faster than you did the day before. And that's true in a run, and that's true in life sometimes too. I think the sun is, you know, no matter how bad a day is, the sun comes up the next day, and it's a new opportunity for you to prove yourself, and that's, you know, that's something that I apply to a lot of areas of my life, but it's a lesson that I certainly learned out there on the trail.
Let's move on before Chris Darling starts singing from Annie, a song from Annie. This is one. So here we go. Let's recap. Okay. Congratulations, by the way, Chris Twiggs.
I think
it's amazing. Congratulations.
So well, we don't have to talk about it again for another year. So
there you go. Yeah. Let's recap. Our guinea pig, Chris Darling, had never officially used Run, Walk, Run. He signed up for the Galloway training or customized training program way back, just on May 8th, and got into the program the very next day. And you're still aiming for the Richmond Marathon on November the 11th, which, by the way, in case you haven't counted, Mr. Darling, is 105 days away. Is that pretty much it?
That sounds right.
So generically, and not getting too specific just yet, how are things going?
It's been an interesting month. I did manage to get a new magic mile time in at the beginning of July.
What was that? Can you share that?
Did it in 7:23, which was, I think, 4 seconds faster than my first one and 7 seconds faster than that second one.
So there's improvement on everyone. That's good. I don't remember. Were you taking walk breaks, or are you during the Magic Mile, or no?
Taking one walk break at the halfway point for about 20 seconds.
Interesting. Chris Twiggs, coach, is there ever going to be a point in his Magic Miles where you're going to say, hey, go ahead and do one without, or does that matter? Do you want, you know, one Magic Mile without to see how that impacts any of his training?
Well, that's not the goal. There's definitely not a goal to run any particular distance without walk breaks. But, you know, there are certainly recommendations based on how fast you're going. But the reality is most people are going to do a faster Magic Mile if they put in at least a short walk break partway through. And that's probably true of everyone who's going to take more than, say, 6 minutes to do their Magic Mile.
Uh-huh.
If you're going to go faster than six for the Magic Mile, it might be hard to improve on that with a walk break of more than, say, 10 or 15 seconds at the halfway point. But you might. So the important thing is just that you do what you think is going to result in your best mile time without puking. And you know, we can't say it enough. We're against puking.
Yep.
but that's, you know, that's all that really matters. And so if he decided he wanted to do it without any walk breaks, I'm good with that. I think if I remember correctly, Chris did one without walk breaks and then he did one with, and I think he was just as fast, if not faster, with the walk breaks.
Yeah, I think the first one I did, was done in the pouring rain, and I don't think I walked during that one, and that was the 7:27 one.
Yeah.
I know the second one that was 7:30 did have the walk break, but that was also like, I just, nothing even felt right about that one. Mm-hmm. But this one, you know, everything felt good. There was that, you know, short walk break and, you know, shave some time off. So,
There's definitely no wrong way to do the Magic Mile as long as you feel like it resulted in your fastest time. And what we do see, though, with a lot of people, almost everyone that does customize and almost everyone who's in one of our Galloway training programs, the first Magic Mile, they end up running very conservatively. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. All it means is that the prediction is slower than it would have been otherwise, and it means that we have them training at a slower pace than they would otherwise. What I see, though, with customized is people do that, and then I give them their assigned paces, and they say, oh, my gosh, that's so slow. Can't I run faster? Well, yeah, you can run faster. I'm not going to be there with a leash on you, but I'm not going to recommend faster paces until I've got some data to back it up. So go out and run another Magic Mile, and this time run it faster. And so that's inevitably what happens is people run, you know, they take a lot of walk breaks or they run really conservatively on the first one, maybe not even as fast as 5K pace. And then they end up having to go out a week later or 10 days later and run another Magic Mile, and they run 30 seconds faster or 40 seconds faster.
Right.
So that's the only – if somebody's looking for – they're going to run their first Magic Mile, and they're not sure what they should even try for. There is a Magic Mile calculator on jeffgalloway.com, and one fun thing to do is go in there and plug in a random time, but look at what the 5K predictor is. And if the 5K predictor is slower than your most recent 5K, then play around with the Magic Mile time that you input until it comes up with a predictor of a 5K close to the pace that you've run recently. And then that'll tell you, well, if my 5K was 25 minutes, then this is what my Magic Mile time should be, so I should be able to run at least that fast. And that'll give you a good goal, something to shoot for on that first Magic Mile, is try to run a pace that would at least predict the 5K that you've run recently.
Right. Very good. Chris Darling, how did you come up with the 20-second figure to walk in the middle? Did Coach give you that, or did you do that?
I believe that was a recommendation from Coach, if my memory's right.
Do you remember?
Yeah,
remember, Chris?
Yeah, it was. It was.
And based on what? Was that just a feeling based on some of the training he'd been doing, or what do you think?
No, based on the times that he was running. I felt like that was appropriate based on the pace that he was going to go. And that's, you know, we put in those types of recommendations when people are doing mile repeats or doing 800s or, you know, whatever. Chris has done a lot of 800s. And so depending on what pace they're going, if they're not going fast enough that I think they should do the entire distance without a walk break, I'll recommend a short, you know, probably about a 20-second walk break halfway through. And that's just a good, you know, it's a good way to take a deep breath, see where you are pace-wise, and then aim for a negative split to run the second half of that mile faster.
Very good. So listen, here's my Beatles segue that I always try to fit into everything I do. John Lennon once wrote a song, and the song was called "Beautiful Boy" about his son. And one of the lines says, "Life is what happens to you while you're busy making other plans." So, yeah. With that in mind, Mr. Darling, you had something happen in your life since we spoke, and I'd like you to discuss that very shortly with us. That the only reason we're bringing that up is not just to say that we're very, very sorry for your loss, but it impacted your training significantly.
Sure. First of all, I appreciate the notes and the kind words while all of this was happening. Those of you that are, you know, are friends with me on Facebook or whatever know that my dad was fighting cancer. He was diagnosed in late March with lung cancer, and he also had some spots on his brain. He was given a really good prognosis. Everything looked good. But towards the end of May, he developed pneumonia that his body just couldn't fight. And eventually, on July 12th, he passed away. And for probably a good solid 2 weeks during July, my life got thrown upside down. And everything outside of taking care of family got pushed to the side. And it's just... it happened, and, you know, I really wish it hadn't, but it's, you know, unfortunately it's life, and, you know, I know that he is much better off now than he was, and, you know, I just have to take my comfort and my hope in that.
So once again, we're very, very sorry for your loss. You and I are friends on Facebook, and I can see what impact that had on you and what impact he had on your life. So that's obviously a plus. But in any case, what impact did it specifically have on training for your first marathon?
On training, I would say the biggest impact is I missed some runs. I missed one long run that was supposed to happen on the 15th of July. I was going to try to get up and get some miles in, but just fatigue and everything. I did manage to go out that Sunday, just to see what the body had in it, taking it easy on pace and, you know, went about 4.5 miles. It certainly isn't a long run, but it got me out there. And while we were up with family, that's the only run I got in. So I missed a long run. I missed a hill workout. And I missed, I actually missed two speed workouts because the Wednesday morning that he passed away, we were on our way up there, and that's normally my speed work day. And then the following Wednesday, we were on our way back. So I missed those two workouts. Since I've been back, things have gotten, in fact, I haven't missed a workout since I got back. I cut my last speed work short just because I didn't, I guess, you know, everything takes its toll on the body, and I was scheduled for 14 800s, and I managed to get 7 of them in. Probably could have got up to 10, but with a 15 miler coming up this weekend, I didn't want to put that in jeopardy because I know the long run is pretty important for marathon training.
So what I'm interested in is the adjustment that you made, the adjustment or adjustments that you made to go from being a little off track to getting back onto track? And I don't want to be specific, you know, I don't want to know, you know, I did this instead of that or whatever, but those adjustments, how did you figure that out? Were those adjustments something that the Coach Twiggs gave you, or how?
I was communicating with Coach as much as I could, given the circumstances. You know, hey, I've got a travel day here. Even for example, this week here after the fact, I was actually originally planning on being back with Mom to work on some of Dad's stuff this weekend, and we ended up pushing that back a week. So before that all got changed, I had talked with Coach about, you know, hey, I'm going to be traveling on Thursday. That's normally my drill run day. And I think Wednesday morning, my daughter had an early morning doctor's appointment, which was going to make speed work almost impossible with that length of a workout to get done. So, you know, we juggled the schedule around, and I ended up doing the drill run that was supposed to be Thursday on Tuesday, taking a rest day Wednesday and doing my speed work yesterday. Just moving things around to try to make it
right
to get as much in as we could. And, you know, and Coach has certainly helped me, you know, figure out what the important parts are to keep and what to, you know, if we've got to bail on something, let's bail on this. So.
So the customized part of this program is really customizable, huh?
Very much so. And I'm sure I have pushed Coach to the limits over the last month, but hopefully things will settle down. And
You must be the one that drove him nuts to run for 41 hours or whatever it was. Then it must be you, your fault, huh?
So actually, while he was running Hard Rock, he was probably like, "Thank God, I'm not going to hear from Chris while this is going on."
Yeah, it could be worse. You mean he's getting pelted by hail, and he's thinking, "Well, it could be worse."
It could be worse.
So, Coach Twiggs, what? I'm curious, what percentage of your customized training clients would you say, not necessarily have such a tragic loss, but have something, they come back to you and say, I need help customizing this thing, I can't do this particular thing?
You know, it's maybe only 10 or 15%. It's not a huge number. And a lot of it is because the nice thing about customized is that it lets you, the people tell me up front, here are the things that I need to work around over the next few weeks, over the next 6 months. And that, you know, they need to work around other races. They need to work around, family commitments, work commitments, whatever. And so, the schedule from the beginning, it takes all of that stuff into account and is a workable schedule that will allow them, should give them their best chance at realizing their goals while still living their lives. And so they're probably 100% of the people miss a run here or there, but it's not something they ever tell me about or they ever need help on, because, you know, it's a, you know, they're supposed to run on Tuesday, they run on Wednesday instead, no big deal, or they were supposed
minor.
To do. Minor thing. When people come to me for adjustments, it's major stuff, like I missed my long run and how do I get back on track with my long run? Or this thing came up and now I'm going to be out of town on that weekend and I wasn't. And so how do I adjust my schedule for that? And this is why I love the video conferences that we do. And Chris has been there for just about every week he's there. And I love the opportunity to hear from them and make those adjustments on the fly and help them, move things around. And we had one woman who on Tuesday we were doing one of these, and she had a two different weekends that something came up and she wasn't going to be able to do long runs, but she was good the weekend in between. So we kind of combined those runs, split the difference, and put it in the middle week. So there are things that that are not a big deal for me to make adjustments to. And so there's simple tweaks and we do that. And the same was true with Chris. You know, he was letting me know what was going on. And so we made some adjustments.
Right.
And the most important thing that I emphasized to him as he's been going through all of this, is that running needs to be a, running needs to be a stress reliever. Running needs to be a joy. Running needs to be something that helps us stay centered and enhances our ability to deal with other things in our lives. It should never be the thing that causes stress in our lives. It should never be the thing that makes us feel guilty. And if there's something about your training schedule that's causing additional stress in other areas of your life, or something about your training schedule that's making you feel guilty about stealing time away from other things or whatever, then that's when I want to hear from folks and we'll make some big changes. Because, you know, if you're not smiling while you're running and if it's not helping you, then there's no point in doing it.
Amen. Yeah, that's huge, Chris. I think that's probably something that every runner would agree with, but yet forgets from time to time that that's what it's there for.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Very good. And not to beleaguer the point, but the thing about the hangouts that I understand you guys really important part about the hangouts that you're doing is you were able to pitch the podcast on one of them, right? That's what I hear.
Oh, that's most of what we do. It's, you know, the hangouts are a thinly veiled ad for the podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
I think everyone realizes that. And then of course the podcast is a thinly veiled ad for Squoosh Bands. Which, by the way, I have to say, not to turn this into a Squoosh commercial, but man, I could almost get away with some of my short runs. I could almost get away without one in Colorado, except being out on the trails. They're nice to dip into streams and things like that. But goodness gracious, coming back to Florida, You know, I'm lucky if I can get away with just one Squoosh on a run.
Yeah, it is. It is. You're right. You're right. Okay. So, the other element to your runs that I know you've been doing, Chris, is tempo runs. Describe. I know that Coach could do this, but I'd rather have you describe what a tempo run is, what you're doing, and at least right now for your tempo runs.
Well, for me right now, my tempo runs is, I'm attempting to hit my half marathon pace because I've got a half marathon coming up at the end of August, which is the next race on the calendar.
That one's downhill, right?
No, that was the one I just did in June.
Oh, is this the Patrick Henry then?
This is the Patrick Henry in Virginia, if I remember right from last year, about 300 and some feet of elevation gain, which isn't bad, but when you live in a completely flat area, even right. 300 feet sneaks up on you. So based on my magic mile time, my half marathon pace should be around 8:55, I believe, if my memory's correct. And the interval that I'm using for that is 2-minute run, 30-second walk. And, you know, those tempo runs, usually it's a mile or so warm up. And then depending on the workout, how it's laid out for that day, it could be just, you know, 15 minutes at tempo, or it could be 3 miles at tempo. And before all this happened, I actually finally managed to get one of those tempo runs at that tempo. I was gassed by the end of it, and I'm thinking, how am I supposed to go 8:55 for 13 miles? But, you know, at the same time, it felt good to know, okay, that is reachable with that interval. That's the interval I used when I did the half marathon in June, and I finished that one in 2:06 and change, you know, which was a PR for me, so I'm not going to complain about that time at all. But it's still not, it's nowhere near that 8:55 mark.
Right.
But it's just a matter of trying to get comfortable with what cadence you need to use to hit that pace, factoring in the walk breaks, and just kind of getting comfortable at that tempo. That's the best way I can describe it. I'm sure Coach could do it better, but that's kind of how I approach it.
Okay. Coach Twiggs, what do you weigh in on this one with? Why are these tempo runs important?
Well, tempo runs are important because they're race rehearsals. And that's really the way Jeff Galloway describes at tempo. Every training program out there, every coach out there has tempo runs for his runners or her runners. But, you know, what tempo means, it can mean different things to different people. So when Jeff Galloway writes about tempo runs, what he really means is race rehearsals. And so the three different paces that I give to anyone doing customized, there'll be a tempo pace, which is your predicted race pace. There is, and that's based on your magic mile. There is a long run pace, which is going to be 2 minutes per mile slower or slower than that. And then there's speed work pace if they're going to be doing speed work. And not everybody does. You know, Chris does have some 800s that he's doing in preparation for that Patrick Henry half that's coming up. But then his speed work ends after that, because this will be his first marathon, and we don't want to do any marathon-specific speed work for his first marathon. We just want him to get through it and have a success with that. But the point of the tempo runs, and this is a, gosh, good question, because we just got one in the office the other day. Somebody was saying, well, how am I supposed to run at this pace in the marathon or this pace in the half marathon when I'm doing all my runs at this slower pace? Right. And but you're not if you're doing all your runs at that slower pace, then you're not following the program, because it's only the long run that has to be 2 minutes per mile slower than race pace. And so all of the shorter runs that you're doing can be at race pace or could be faster if you're doing speed work. And it's important to practice that. And so what Chris has got, what everybody's got in customized really, is at least one short run during the week that has some segment of it that is at the same pace they're predicted to do for the race and the same run-walk ratio they're predicted to do for the race. And then what some folks have got, and that includes Chris, is he's got some of his weekend runs include segments that are 3 miles or so practicing race pace, practicing the run-walk ratio he's going to use during the race. And the pace is important because that's based on magic mile prediction, but the ratio he uses, he should start with the ratio that I recommend for him, but then, because it'll be based on the range that Jeff has established, you know, if you're running between this pace and that pace, here's the right run-walk ratio to use. But once he's practiced that recommended ratio, he should be trying out other ratios. If that feels great, good. But if he wants to try out some other ratios, that's the time to do it on those tempo runs. See, okay, if I keep this same pace, but I run a little bit longer between walk breaks, how does that feel? It means I get to run slower during the running segment. How do I like that? Or if I go a little bit less between walk breaks, I'm walking more often, but I'm running a little faster between walk breaks. How does that feel? And some people are going to feel better walking more and therefore running faster between the breaks. Some people are going to feel better walking less and therefore running slower between the breaks. And those tempo runs are really good times to practice and see what works best. And just like you're going to be practicing what's the best breakfast to have before I run so that I don't experiment on race day, but I have the breakfast that I know is going to work for me. Just so you're going to practice with the same sports drink, you know, what works well for me on a training run, because that's what I want to drink during the race itself. The same is true of the run-walk ratio. Practice that on those tempo runs. See what works best for me on those tempo runs. That's what I'm going to use during the race itself. So that's the purpose of those runs. And anybody that says, well, I'm doing all of my runs at this slower pace, yeah, if you do all your runs at that slower pace, you're going to run your race at that slower pace. You've got to do some tempo runs as a race rehearsal pace to practice what it's going to be like during the race itself.
Very good. So, Mr. Guinea Pig, you've got your 15-mile run tomorrow, the longest mm-hmm. you've ever run in your entire
life.
In
my life, 14 has been the most, and I've done that two or three times.
Are you freaked out?
Yes and no. I found out earlier this week that there's some of the people that I run with occasionally during the week are meeting up for a long run tomorrow. It'll be interesting because they use a little bit different ratio, and I think some of them are only going 10. But shoot, 10 miles with a group and only 5 miles by myself, I'll take that any day.
Yeah.
As opposed to 15 in solitude.
These folks have all agreed to run your pace and your ratios and everything?
No, I'm actually going to, for the 10 miles I'm with them, I'm going to run their ratio. They run, do 60-60, which isn't my favorite, so I'm sure the first 10 miles are going to be even slower than I want them to be.
Right.
And then once they're gone, I'll do the last part of the workout at the 60-30s that I've been using on long runs.
Are these folks official Galloway guys or people?
No, they just I'm assuming that they've read about it, and most of the people that I run with here were using Galloway when I moved here. I was the oddball out because I rarely walked at all when I first moved here, that, you know, having camaraderie on a long run.
Man, that's big.
You know, hopefully it's okay that my pace for the first 10 is probably going to be slower than we want it to be, but it'll also give me a chance to have some in the tank for the last 5.
Right. So you're a disciple now, you know, you're going to have to convert these folks. You got 10 miles to do it, and most importantly, get them to listen to the podcast too, right?
It's funny. I mean, just in the couple months that I've been doing this, I think there's 3 or 4 people that I've already, you know, highly encouraged to check out the customized portion of it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I know that they all have at least taken a look. I haven't heard that any of them have officially signed up at this point, but,
So
there's a lot of interest. So
you're going to be that obnoxious guy at the party now, and your wife's going to look over and you're in the corner talking, and she's going to know, oh my God, he's talking Galloway again.
Yeah, at least when I'm around runners.
Mr. Twiggs, 15 miles tomorrow, the longest he's ever run in his life. Was there anything special that advice that you gave him or need to?
No, I mean, again, the long runs are a great opportunity to practice the nutrition plan and also the clothing plan for the race itself. And this is true for the half marathon, but it's also true for the marathon. The reason he's doing 15 is because he's, you know, his next race is a half marathon, but he's training for a marathon. So we can't wait until after the half marathon to increase the mileage. We've got to go at a rate that makes sense for the marathon. And he'll be in good, he'll be in extra good shape for the half, and I'm hoping for a fast time for him. But he should just work on practicing, what's going to be a good idea for dinner the night before, what's going to be a good idea for breakfast that morning, what sort of snacks or things is he going to carry with him as blood sugar boosters during that long run. Obviously, because he's going to be going at training pace, it's going to be a lot slower than his next race is going to be, and take a lot longer, so he'll be out there longer and need to be aware of his nutrition needs, make sure he's got lots of water, try to start early so it's not too hot, all of those sorts of things. So these are things that were true when his long run was 9 miles, were true when his long run was 11 miles. It will still be true when his long run is 26 miles. They're all learning opportunities for him. I'm not thrilled about the idea of doing the 60-60 only because we know that that the 1 minute walk break tends to make people slow down more. But at the same time, the fact that he'll be able to switch at some point and go to his 60-30, should mean that he's feeling stronger toward the end. And the fact that group is doing walk breaks at all is great. What you want to avoid as a Galloway runner is falling into a group that doesn't walk at all and then trying to do a long run with that group, because you could end up you know, being really uncomfortable in that run. The shorter runs is not a big deal, especially for someone like Chris who's used to running without walk breaks before. If he were doing a 5 or 6 miler without walk breaks, it wouldn't be a big deal. But as you get to the longer ones, you want to make sure that you're looking out for yourself. And it's nice to run with other people, but if they're not going to run the way you're used to running, then sometimes it's best just to say, well, I'll see you out there and let's get together for breakfast afterwards. But I think he's going to have a good time. I'm glad he's not going to be on his own. Although, sometimes running on your own helps you because you're able to process things and think about things that work out some things that otherwise you wouldn't have time to think about. I know when I go for a long run, sometimes it's the only quiet time I have all day.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Very good. So between now and the next time we speak, Mr. Guinea Pig, you probably will have run your half marathon, the Patrick Henry half, and in beautiful Ashland, Virginia, right?
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful course. I ran it last year and it snuck up on me, which we've talked about. So hopefully that won't happen this time because I know what to expect. I think if I had any complaints about this one coming up, is it's just once you get kind of out of town from where the college is there in town, there's not a ton of support along the course outside of the aid stations every couple miles. So there's not, it's certainly not like a Baltimore situation where you can't run 50 feet without there being 100 people cheering you on. It's got some quiet moments along the course, but it's in a beautiful part of the state. Hopefully the weather will cooperate and not be overly obnoxiously hot, but we'll see.
It looks like a beautiful, like a gorgeous, historic little town. It looks like Mayberry to me.
The park that's in town is actually my favorite park because it's very much that small town America kind of feel. Once you get out of town, our buddy JD would probably appreciate that. It's like running through cornfields. And from listening to him talk, that's a lot of what he runs through when he runs at least close to his house. But again, that kind of setup leads itself to not be incredibly well supported, at least by crowd support once you get out on that part of the course. But the finish is great right back in town, alongside of the train tracks and the train station. So, looking forward to that one.
Good. And we'll catch up with you and see how that one went. Thanks for your time this morning, and particularly for sharing your private moments and how that affected your training. We all appreciate that.
Sure.
Coach Twiggs, before we let you go, your other work life, you're also the director of the training programs for Mr. Galloway. Is there anything we need to know? You got anything exciting going on that side of the house?
We've got kickoffs happening all over the country. People can go to jeffgalloway.com and click on our list of cities under the training tab, and they can see if there's a program in their area, and they can see if there's a kickoff coming. Jeff is traveling all over the place. And he'll be down here in Florida in a couple of weeks, kicking off a bunch of programs down here in the South. The two things that I think that your listeners might really be interested in, if you have ever wanted to run the Marine Corps Marathon but didn't get in through the lottery for Marine Corps, we do have numbers available for the Marine Corps Marathon. And I can send you the link to that for people to go on and purchase bibs for Marine Corps through us. And then we have a really neat new partnership I'm really excited about. There's a charity called the Blue Card, which does really important work supporting Holocaust survivors. And they are an official charity of the New York City Marathon. And so they have some entries into the New York City Marathon for people that are doing fundraising for them. And so if anybody would like to run the New York City Marathon, but again, didn't get in through the regular registration process, we can connect them with the Blue Card to to be part of them, and they get some Galloway training as part of the deal of being a fundraiser for that organization. And you know, it's, also I'll just point out, if anybody who's listening has a connection to a charity that wants to offer running as part of their fundraising, wants to you know, be involved with a marathon or something like that, we can help you with the training side of that. We don't have any exclusive relationships with any of these charities, but we really want to help support anyone who's willing to run for a cause. So you know, get in touch with me if that's something that that somebody listening to would have an interest in or want help creating for their organization.
Very good. That the Blue Card charity is pretty amazing. I had not heard of it until you brought that up with your connection with the Galloway training programs. But it's a I'm going to put a link to their site in the show notes today. And whether or not you all even want to run these races, it's a worthwhile charity to throw a few bucks to one way or the other. So very good. That's all I have for this morning, unless you guys have something else. Appreciate your time. It's pretty exciting. I'm getting some really, really excellent feedback. And Mr. Guinea Pig, everybody's watching what you're doing. Not that I'm throwing any added pressure on you.
Yeah, no pressure at all.
It's good stuff. All right. I appreciate you guys' time this morning, and look forward to jumping on another phone call in another few weeks and seeing how things are going. Thank you both.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Kevin. Congratulations, Chris, on your success with your training. Looking forward to seeing how your race turns out. And you know, as I mentioned before, really sorry about the loss of your father, but you know, you are you're a great man and a good father yourself, and we all see that, those of us that see what you post on Facebook. So
I appreciate that.
Well said. Well said. Thanks very much. Y'all have a good day, and we'll chat.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Kevin. All thanks, Chris.
Right. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Well, there you go. Episode 4.4 of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Good stuff, huh? Like I said, we had a lot of references in today's episode, so check out the show notes. And among them, make sure you get more details on the item that Coach Twiggs spoke about during the cool-down period of today's episode. In case you were doing a long run and were pretty far into a long run and were not paying close attention, Chris mentioned a couple of different ways for you to actually get an entry bib into the New York City Marathon and or the Marine Corps Marathon. Two marathons that are pretty much impossible to get into these days, unless you are very, very lucky and win the lottery. The New York City Marathon includes some Galloway training, specialized training for that, and that's done through that Blue Card charity that Chris mentioned. I looked that up and just read about the charity, and I sent them a few bucks myself just because I think that is such a great charity. But if you're into the New York City Marathon, and you obviously have to look around for a charity at this point, give them some consideration because they do some amazing work. As far as the Marine Corps Marathon goes, one of Jeff's best friends in the world is the race director for that marathon and always provides Jeff and Chris some bibs for that. So what if I were to tell you could get in to the Marine Corps Marathon for about $200? Huh? So anyway, I will put a link to some of that in the episode today. And if you need any further information, you're welcome to send me a note or send one to Coach Twiggs directly. But either way, he'll get that in reply as soon as he can. How about that 13.1, the Jeff Galloway 13.1 update? Billy Mills. Oh man, what an inspirational speaker. If you have never heard Billy Mills speak, I can't do them justice in this podcast. I just would suggest you do everything you can to listen to him speak down at the Jeff Galloway 13.1. He's an amazing athlete. He's an amazing human being. And I'm pretty sure you'll come away a little bit changed from that. As well, have you guys heard about the Jeff Galloway 13.1 ambassadors? No? I put a link over on our Facebook page, but Jeff's production team for the 13.1 are looking for a few ambassadors for that race. Ambassadors are public-facing reps who are enthusiastic about running and would like to spread the word of the 13.1. They're looking for people with some pretty strong social media presence, some way of spreading that word. Actually, this sounds like it was invented for extra milers, doesn't it? Details are in the show notes, but I wouldn't wait around too long if you'd like to apply for one of those positions, because they are going quickly. The link will show what the duties are and what you can expect for all of your efforts. So check it out over at the webpage. And that's all I got. Once again, thanks for the download. Thanks for the last almost 2 hours of your lives. We don't take that lightly. Thanks for spreading the word to any of your friends who might get something out of this podcast. And we always appreciate favorable ratings over at the iTunes store. And if you have any other questions for the next episode, feel free to get them together. I'd prefer an audio, like Suzanne did for today's episode, and send them to me. And I'll save them for the next show. Hopefully we'll have time to add your questions. Anyway, thanks again. And until the next episode, y'all enjoy your extra mile.
Joining us for this edition of the Extra Mile Podcast, Jeff Galloway edition. Please visit our website at www.thegallowayextramile.com to see the show notes for this episode of the podcast. You can email us with your feedback about the show or send your audio questions for Jeff or Chris to podcast@jeffgalloway.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, enjoy your extra mile.